Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. And it just feels so right to be back talking with the one and only Justice Mosqueda. You can follow him on Twitter at JUMOSQ. Of course, you can find him on Acme Packing Company. Justice, unbelievable to have you back. Thanks so much for being here. How the heck have you been?
I've been doing good. Got COVID out of the way a couple weeks ago.
Good.
So should be good for the season. So I'm ready to rock and roll.
Was that purposeful? Like, all right, we got to get COVID before the season starts because no. we're now in the thick of things. All right. No. I don't know if that was like a preventative, like, all right, let's get this out of the way.
One of my close buddies is a teacher and all the rest of my close friends, like, just have little kids that are going into daycare and stuff. So I am now involved in this petri dish of all the children's sickness.
Well, good luck with all that. I know last time we talked, you were reeling a little bit too from a keg stand COVID of some sort, keg stand flu of some sort. So
yeah,
you're on a roll. Hopefully it's all passed now. And now you can get through football season and draft season unscathed and can have a impeccable bill of health moving forward. Obviously, we haven't had the chance to talk Justice since the Packers lost to the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil. Of course, Jordan Love injury or his injury is sort of the main talking point here, but I'll let you go in any direction that you want. We've got a lot to talk through today, but just kind of overarching takeaways or things that stood out to you from that game.
That one hurt pretty bad. Like even beyond the Love injury, like you get 9 points off of turnovers, off of three turnovers. You do that poorly in the red zone, right? You get that many penalties, like just feels like that's one that slipped away and might end up costing the team down the line, depending how the season plays out. I mean, it's September 9th when we're recording this. So who knows if they're one game away from, you know, seeding change or even making the playoffs at the end of the year. But yeah, that was definitely one that you look back on and you're like, we should have had that. We should have had that. Like, they bottled up Jalen Hurts for most of the game. I know there were some weird plays where, you know, a wide receiver would get open on kind of like a big explosive play, but it's not like they were matriculating the ball down the field or anything like that. So,
no, a very frustrating game for that very reason. They had a million opportunities to come away with a win. They left a billion points on the board or on the field that should have been on the board. I would love to know how many times a team wins EPA on offense, wins EPA on defense, and has a +2 turnover ratio and loses the game, because that is exactly what happened in this one. It's just like you get any of those and going in your direction and you feel pretty good. The fact that they went 3 for 3 and EPA on offense, EPA on defense, and turnovers, like +2 on turnovers nonetheless, like that's just a game you win probably 99% of the time. And they found a way to lose it, mostly due to their own mistakes. I said Green Bay should be 1-1 on the record board because they kicked their own ass in this one and deserve almost a win for that. But just a very frustrating game for all of the exact reasons we just discussed.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the missed field goal too. They had the weird kick instead of 2-point conversion thing that didn't really make sense. Like, so much happened in that game. I don't this is gonna sound nuts.
Oh, I love it. I'm waiting.
Okay. I don't think we've had a weirder game since that 2014 NFC Championship.
I tweeted the same thing. I tweeted the exact same thing. I said something to the effect of, obviously this game did not have the stakes. Obviously this game did not have, we're so used to from Packers fan standpoint of like when they blow it, it's like they're up by 17 in a scenario and then they blow it with all these mistakes. But this was not one that, and I kind of said,
they should have been up like 28-0 to start the game.
I know. And it was like every single step of the way, there was just a dumb mistake, whether it be a penalty or a drop or a miss pass or a miss pick six or a miss tackle, or it's like over and over and over. It felt Twilight Zone-ish where I'm like, I think this actually may have had more stupid mistakes even than the 2014 Seahawks game. It just didn't maybe feel that way because the Seahawks game was so important. I was 1,000,000% with you. I tweeted the exact same thing.
Yeah, it's a weird game. When we like, no one even, you know how weird a game has to be where a field goal would have decided the result and the field goal kicker missed it, and no one is talking about that field goal being missed. Yeah. So much weird stuff has to happen in that game for that to happen. So especially considering how trigger happy have we seen Packers fans be about the kicker position over the last 2 years. And, you know, one could have been decided by a kick today, and it's, yeah, just non-issue. So
I went through it, and immediately the day after, I actually did the rewatch that night. I was up till like 4 a.m. that morning, and I went and I like started charting the mistakes. I didn't even count Keyshawn coming out of the end zone. I didn't even count Jair coming out of the end zone. I had 39 just like false start, 12 men on the field, false start, misprotection on a Zach Bond sack, like holding.
Some of their best passes were drops. Like,
yes.
Musgrave got to snap the play on that interception. He played one snap after that. That was midway through the third quarter.
Who was that?
Musgrave.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, just so many things, man.
39. And again, I didn't even count a couple. And there was a couple more that I could have been like, I could put this on there, but it just feels like piling on. Just one of those days at the office. Obviously, we got our first glimpse of Jeff Hafley. Not maybe the ideal glimpse of Jeff Hafley, but there were some good things. There were some things I'm sure that he would like to have back. But what were your overall impressions of a Jeff Hafley defense one weekend?
This was exactly what I expected. This is 100% what it was built to be. A whole lot of single high defense. About a third of the snaps were base defense. That's something that we had talked about throughout the whole summer, right?
Yep.
Really not using any sort of like dime or anything like that. It's really just going to be the nickel set and then the base set. The interior defensive tackle rotation was what I expected, right? Kenny Clark is going to be up there with like the most played defensive tackles in the league. Yeah. Wyatt is going to play more pass rushing situations, which he did in this game. Slayton is going to play more run situations, but they're about going to be, you know, roughly 50-50. That's kind of how it panned out.
Yeah.
I wasn't surprised really by anything. There was one drive where they sat Stokes for Valentine.
Yeah, like 9 plays, something like that, or 8 plays.
Yeah, I don't know why that happened. He wasn't targeted or anything like that on that drive. It's not like Stokes blew a coverage and got sat down for a drive or anything like that. I don't know if they were like working on his cleats or something like that. I mean, who knows with how weird this game was. Like we've already mentioned that. Yeah. The Cooper stuff is kind of interesting. I mean, they were rotating him in a little bit. The athleticism sure as hell pops. I know LaFleur today said that he's hoping to get him on the field a little bit more, you know, week by week type of situation. So I think their plan is ultimately to use Cooper as that third linebacker and end up phasing out Eric Wilson at the very least. I mean, maybe he displaces McDuffie too. They're telling the truth about the outside linebacker stuff where they're like, you know, hey, it's not like we have one Sam linebacker and the other one's going to be the Will linebacker. And it's like, you just travel with the tight end. Like they really are playing both of those outside linebackers in pretty similar roles. Same thing with the safeties. They're really only playing too high from what I was able to see when they're getting like tray formations. So it's like, tight end, like basically trips, but with the tight end attached to it. So you get tight end, slot receiver, wide receiver, and then that's when they'll kind of play too high and they'll spin late, right? They won't let you know if there's going to be a weak side rotation or strong side rotation with the safeties until the snap of the ball or, you know, just right before it. But for the most part, I mean, this is kind of what I expected. I know some people aren't happy about the run defense. I'm not super worried about it. Like, there were some alignment issues. Like, I know the big – Saquon run down the middle, like Kenny's not lined up right on that play. And I understand that, you know, Quay hit the hole hard and ended up, you know, kind of missing the hole. And it looks like he even like slipped a little bit because of the field, whatever. Saquon's playing on the same field too. Right.
Right.
But it sure as hell was not helped by the fact that, you know, Kenny was probably a gap too far over and, you know, there was a wide open space in the middle of the defense. So there's that. The corner stuff, like everyone's ready to cut Jair because he lost on an out and up. I don't get the team is married to Jair. I don't.
Yeah. He's not going anywhere.
Packers fans, get over it. Like people were tweeting at me and were like, Because I had to be the Packers like their corners guy this offseason.
You right? were that. You were that.
For the draft. I very much was the pinata for that. I was like, guys, they paid Keyshawn like a top three slot corner in the league. They're not going to draft a slot in the first round. And people took offense to that. A lot of people found my tweet and then were, you know, coming back at me. And I'm like, guys, Jair was the one who gave up those yards in man coverage, which, by the way, is what you guys have been asking for
years.
I don't know, since Penton left. Like, yeah. Like, there was not a player in the draft that would have helped Jair on an out and up in man coverage.
No, period. He lost that
route, and that's what you live with. I mean, I think Tex at APC, I was just on his pod. And he brought up that, you know, when people have been asking about the defense, he's just kind of been saying, like, it's going to bring more big plays. And big plays doesn't mean big plays for you, necessarily. Just means big plays. Like, it's big plays for you or for me or, who, you know, however it works out. So, yeah, I mean, this Eagles offensive line is good from a pass protection standpoint, at the very least. Rashawn Gary got locked down by Lane Johnson. Yeah. Tip of the cap to him. Rashawn Gary is a very good pass rusher. Very few right tackles in the league are equipped to basically shut out Rashawn Gary for a full 60 minutes, especially when they were playing as many snaps as they did down there in Brazil. But yeah, I mean, there's problems in the coverage. I mean, you're dropping from Barry's structure. You're dropping one of your deep coverage players down.
No, yeah.
Right. So if your pass rush doesn't get home, you're down a guy in the deep game. And that's what we saw with the Packers. I mean, this Eagles team is kind of built to beat cover three, right? Because, you know, you have good pass blocking offensive tackles, and you got two wide receivers that can, you know, take it to the house on any play. So I think their matchup against the Colts is going to be a lot better than the Eagles, but I'm not hitting the panic button at all.
I think you can make an argument. There might not be an offense in the league that gives Green Bay quite as many problems as that Eagles offense for the way that they want to play, especially because it sounds like they were definitely trying to make sure that Jalen Hurts did not win with his legs. So again, I think that hurt some of the
Packers. I mean,
yes,
they succeeded on that. Yeah. Yep.
So they did that well, but obviously gave him a little bit more time, maybe in the pocket, didn't get there from a pass rush standpoint, which again is a large part due to, I think, maybe the best offensive tackle combo in football, or at least in the top three. And then, you know, again, you're hoping that Rashawn and Preston and all those guys can get there. And again, they have a very good offensive line. You're trying to go against three wide receivers, or specifically in this game, two in Brown and Devontae Smith that can beat you in man coverage situations, which we saw AJ Brown do. And it caused a lot of problems for this Packers defense. There are going to be very few teams the remainder of this year that have, and then of course, yeah, that Saquon Barkley guy too. There's going to be very few teams that have that plethora of just problems that are going to be presented. So I'm with you. What I really wanted, and I would have wished that they did not call that stupid holding penalty on Jair on 3rd and 12, or that would have set up a 3rd and 12 on that final drive. That was the one drive where I'm like, you got to step up here and get a stop and get the ball back for the offense and give them a chance. And they really just could not get off the field on that one. And again, it was handicapped a bit by the fact that you had the phantom penalty. But other than that, I'm interested to see what it looks like going against Indy this week and then kind of moving forward from there.
Do you want to talk about Indy? I watched Indy.
Let's jump right to that.
So Indy basically did not run any under center last week.
Any of their what?
Any under center last week.
Yeah, he was in shotgun.
Everything is gun, which means you can cheat the running back, right? I mean, if a running back is, I'm me, right? I'm Anthony Richardson. That's the only time you'll ever hear me say that, right? Jonathan Taylor is right here. Jonathan Taylor has to cross my face to get the ball, right? So you can start sending, you know, slants this way all game. An interesting thing too is they basically used motion to declare that they were going to run the ball because there are limitations to gun running, right? Yep. So, you know, hey, you're going to cheat the back, which is how a lot of teams do it, right? They set the front away from the back. But they were using motion to kind of, you know, make sure you weren't just pinning your ears back and making penetration plays in the backfield and stuff like that. So it's going to be really interesting. I mean, that whole team is like a two player offense right now too. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah.
No backup running back got a carry in that game. It was just That's Jonathan crazy. Taylor, you know? So it's pretty weird. It's like, it's a gun run offense with play action shots, but they tell you when they're going to run with motion and they don't use any backup running back. It's a really odd situation. So like Richardson hit that beautiful post throw and he hit a couple other ones that were pretty amazing last week. Yep. But he's going to have to probably play out of his mind again. If they're going to win with any sort of consistency this way, like it's a pretty easy scheme to game plan for. Like they only do a couple of things. It's the same thing with the defensive side, right? Like Gus Bradley's going to sit back there and cover three. Like he's going to do basically what the Packers offense has been going against all summer. Like they're going to know how to attack that defense, right? So I'm definitely hopeful for a bounce back this week.
You got to think that at some point, like they got to get in pistol or something to get Jonathan Taylor behind to give a little bit more nuance or something, because like you said, it's too much of a tell. And yeah, they're trying to do a little bit of a, you know, the motion stuff to kind of keep him honest, but it feels like that's going to have to evolve at some point. And I don't know if they're just keeping it simple for week one and they're hoping that they can add some things and some wrinkles moving forward. But yeah, you would think that that would be a fairly easy plan of attack to kind of go against. Week one is officially in the books, and while it didn't maybe go the way many of us were hoping, it was still great to have football back in our lives. Now, we're on to week two, and there is still plenty of winning to be done, especially with Prize Picks. Right now, one Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right, only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. And trust me, you are not going to want to miss this deal on Prize Picks. What I love about Prize Picks is that you can win 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. And Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy so that your lineups stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. If your player leaves in the first half and doesn't return, your picks are still live. So obviously, I'll be going with Caleb Williams again in week two, but I have an oddly confident feeling about Malik Willis as well, especially when it comes to rushing yards. Whoever you choose, the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hey friends, most people don't tell you that one of the hardest parts of becoming an adult is trying to actually kickstart your credit. Young adults get set up with credit cards so early, and so many people immediately start to accumulate debt as they begin their college careers. I know that's exactly what happened to me, and this is why I wish Kickoff was around when I was in credit trouble. I absolutely love Kickoff because of its simplicity and its results. Here's how simple it is. You make one-time payments, credit bureaus see your good behavior, and your credit grows. And as for those results, users with credit under 600 increase their credit by an average of 30 points in the first month. And what's even better, there's no credit check and you can cancel at any time. Kickoff is the number one credit building app out there and has over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store. So join over a million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Get your first month for a dollar. That's 80% off the normal price when you go to getkickoff.com/packaday today. That's Kickoff without the C. Get KIKOFF.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate offer. Offer applies to new Kickoff customers first month only, subject to approval. Average impact of 30-point increase in first month based on Equifax VantageScore 3.0 changes for Kickoff premium customers with starting credit below 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payment and credit activity outside Kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer subject to change. Individual results may vary.
It's weird because so there's like three teams running pistol a lot this year, right? The Rams, the Dolphins, those teams have kind of been doing that for a while. Yeah. And then Atlanta, because Kirk Cousins is hurt, right? Or coming off of the Achilles, however you want to phrase it, right? His mobility is limited. You don't want him going under center to run bootlegs and stuff. And like, I know Richardson is coming off the injury, but it's not like a mobility issue or anything because they're running the damn quarterback. Yes. Like they're running him at the goal line and stuff. So I don't know why he's not going under center. Maybe he's just not very good at it, but like the play action is a little bit different. their tackles are not nearly as good as the Eagles are. You would think that off of play action shots, you know, especially guys like Rashawn Gary, who are just basically, you know, trying to get after the quarterback, no matter whether it's a run or pass. Like, he doesn't have to see the ball in the quarterback's hand before he's thinking penetration, penetration, penetration. I'm getting to the QB, right?
Yep.
That hopefully you can stop some of this play action game, because that's really all I'm worried about. I mean, they might RPO you a little bit. Still not. I mean, the data set is so small on Richardson right now that I don't know if he can live in that RPO world and kind of like Carson Wentz you, you know?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Type of thing. So we'll have to see. But I mean, that's kind of what you're getting out of the Colts. I mean, it's two dudes and they're kind of going to be lined up the same way every single play.
It's going to be really interesting to see how that sort of progresses. And, you know, you sort of have this unbelievable wild card in Anthony Richardson where you don't know what you're going to get on any given play. It might be one of the most spectacular things that you have ever seen. And it might be just complete and utter, just like bad throws or just making poor decisions. So I think in a way, when you're a team that is out there, top quarterback, probably, at least we heard from Matt LaFleur, we'll talk about that too, saying if Jordan can't go this week, I think that may be a little gamesmanship, but we'll talk about that. We'll see. But if you're down to your backup quarterback, a team coming in that is more of a wild, not, I'm not, when I say wild card, obviously not a wild card team, a wild card in like, you just don't know what you're going to get. You just hope that the coin flips in the right direction and Richardson just has a super off game, doesn't play like himself, doesn't put up a couple of those spectacular plays. And you feel pretty good about yourself that, all right, we got away with one, and you know, potentially could steal a win in this one.
Yeah, for sure. And again, you know, Indy, run game wise, right? Because that's what everyone's going to talk about this week, right? It's, can I drop the curtain and say I don't think Jordan Love is going to play in this game?
I think we're both on the same page of yes. Okay. It's an interesting soundbite, and it's fun to tweet out that he said if Jordan. Yes, that is almost certainly a smokescreen or whatever you want to call it, and I think we would all be stunned if Jordan played this weekend.
So, Indianapolis got ran all over last week against the Houston Texans, right? They had three guys, I think, that had carries of 13-plus. No team ran for more 10-plus yards, 10-plus yard carries than the Texans did last week. So, you would think that bodes well for the Packers, who I think their backs actually played really well. Offensive line wasn't great, but the backs made a lot of it, both of them. I know people were ready to cut Josh Jacobs at halftime, which was insane to me.
Agreed.
We had our halftime spaces at APC, and people were like, play Emmanuel Wilson. I'm like, dude, nothing is getting blocked up. I understand Emmanuel Wilson got the plays that were blocked up, and he made the explosives in the first half, but I was like, pump the brakes, guys. Like, give Josh Jacobs a little bit of a shot. You would think that Green Bay would be able to run or lean into the run game a little bit more in this one. And the good news is, like, you know, people are like, well, the Colts had to respect, you know, CJ Stroud, right? They're playing cover, they're playing single high and adding a guy to the box because that's what Gus Bradley will do no matter what, right? Yep. So, like, there isn't really an adjustment that he can make to be even lean even heavier into stopping the run. They were trying to do that actively last week. So, unless they just get better play from the defensive line or something, or the Packers' offensive line with more blocks, I don't know how that's going to turn. So that should be, you know, an advantage in the Packers' favor. Plus, who knows what the heck LaFleur has added for, you know, the option game. I know in the preseason, Love wasn't Love, even when, like, family night and stuff like that, wasn't pulling any of the options.
No. But
there are options in the playbook. You don't want him to get hit in the summer, right? But, like, if Malik is out there, he's got like 60 passes and 30 carries in the NFL. Like, that dude runs the ball, right? And he's a very athletic dude. So you would think that they would involve quarterback run game at some point.
I would absolutely think so. I would be stunned if they didn't, unless their concern is that, like, if this guy gets hurt, we're totally screwed. But I can't imagine that they're going to feel like it's that much different between Malik Willis and Brett Hundley and Sean Clifford at this point. So yeah, I would absolutely expect to see a decent chunk of that. And it was funny, in one day in training camp, there was like I want to say like 15 read options where the QB kept it. And it was just like, I don't know if it was a emphasis for the, like the defense that day of like, they wanted the defense to work against it, especially with the, you know, Hurts and Richardson the first couple weeks or something. I have no idea, but it was definitely a day at camp where they were just keeping a bunch of those, and it was Love, it was Clifford, it was Pratt. They were all doing a little bit of it, but they definitely have it in the offense. They know how to run it. And I would very much expect to see some of that. And I think even, you know, just some of the run and then, or the bubble screen to the outside. I think we're going to see some of that. I think there's a lot that Matt's going to do to make this easy. I'm more interested to see how they engineer it of like, did they start with the run game and then try to set up some of the RPO and then set up maybe some play action stuff? Or like, do they almost like counter it and be like, we're going to take a couple deep shots early just to kind of keep them on their toes and be like, yep, we might throw some of these as well. And hope that you
do not take the deep shots, please. Do not.
Yes, exactly.
The last thing you want to do is extend the game, especially if you miss those early on and they're able to build up a lead. Like, now, first play of the game, like, read option, second play, RPO off of it. Like, let's do the thing. Let's run the college offense.
I don't know if you saw Brandon Carwile, his tweet of how they had the two plays on the same drive. One was, it was actually the play that I think Jacobs fumbled on. And then a little later was the crosser to Tucker Kraft. And it looks the exact same. Like, those are things that, and I'm not saying they can go back to the well necessarily and do that exact situation, but those are things that Matt has in his offense where he'll show a run a few times and then it's going to look the exact same way. And you have one of those guys come wide open because the team is anticipating a run. Like, Matt's going to have to be at his best where he can scheme two or three of those, you know, type of plays. And this game, offensive line is going to have to be better. The running backs are going to have to be good. And then if you can get Jaden Reed breaking tackles and doing his magic again, that would certainly be helpful as well.
Yeah. The only two things that were really concerning to me from the offensive side, like, I thought Love had a pretty good game too. I know, like, if you look at like the QBR, it's like 20 points something, but like,
it's not that bad. It was nowhere.
There were drops. Bad. There were like, I'm not worried about that. Like, same. The interception was on a play that was like the route was messed up, right? Stuff like that. The right side of the offensive line in particular, holy crap, guys, we got to get a little bit better there. And then the receivers is just like, when did Wick start dropping the ball? Like, I don't think he's had a game like that ever. So like, I don't think that's going to repeat itself. So I'm not that concerned. The right side of the offensive line, I guess really it was like the right guard center situation, right? It wasn't really Tom.
No, Tom had a pretty good game.
But yeah, I mean, they were turning a lot of these linebackers loose, and you can't do that, guys. You can't.
No, the run game early was really ugly, and then it kind of settled down as the game went along. Anything that you would change from going in from week one to week two? We talked a little bit about maybe Edgerrin Cooper playing a little bit more, but anything else that you would like to see changed going into week two against Indy, either on offense or on defense?
I mean, I do kind of wonder, just from like a personnel standpoint, like the Preston Slayton combo. I think we've talked about this before. I'm like, I don't know. Someone's going to light you up in the passing game at some point, and you're going to have to be like, we have to play our pass rushers every down in this game, you know? So, I mean, I don't think that it's going to be this week, just because I don't think that Richardson is necessarily like the most consistent quarterback right now. But he does have that high upside. I mean, I just hope they learn it before, you know, their first big quarterback matchup, right? Because it does seem like they're kind of changing up the lineup a little bit. Like, I mean, the Cooper stuff is interesting. The stuff at tight end where Tucker Kraft is now out snapping Musgrave like 3-1, 4-1 is crazy. Where the hell did that come from? We didn't see that all summer.
It's funny because I've been on the Tucker Kraft is tight end one bandwagon for kind of the
offseason. I think he's talent. Like, I think he is the better tight end, but they haven't shown the intent to actually do it. Yeah.
And nor in a million years. And like I said, I've been on this. So like, I think he's the number one guy, but even then, like, people have asked about it, like, who, you know, how are the snaps going to be divided up? Or I'm like, or who's tight end one, who's tight end two? My answer all along has been, it won't matter because it's going to be like 45 for one and 40 to 35 for the other. They're going to play a lot of two tight end sets. We'll see a smattering of Ben Sims. And then week one, it's like, nope, 63 of Kraft, 17 of Musgrave, one of Ben Sims on a 2-point conversion. Like, yeah. I did not see that coming at all. I thought it would have been much closer, and I thought we would have seen a little bit more Ben Sims.
Well, especially with Kraft having the injury that popped up this week, too.
The back thing.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, he dealt with the pec in the summer. Like, he didn't really get a play in the preseason.
He's going to be so good, though. Once he's healthy and, like, they get going more, he's going to be so good in this offense.
Did you see the Packers ran two snaps of 0-1 personnel, which is zero running back, one tight end, four wide receivers?
I saw one of the plays because it was obviously there's nobody in the backfield, but yes, there was, because I was wondering on that play of like, how did they like even get out there? Because I'm like, who's in the backfield? And then there was like, no, and it was just like, no, they just went spread.
They put 12 in there for some reason. How'd they get all four receivers on the field?
Yeah, yeah, no, I was very intrigued. Yes. But yeah, I saw one of them. I didn't see the second one.
Yeah. So they're, I think the other one got called back for a penalty
or that something.
Might have been a delay of game. But yeah, I mean, he's playing around with stuff. I mean, that's something that you don't really see. We didn't see any two back stuff.
No. Yeah.
Unless Ellis Merriweather played special teams, he wasn't on the field, right?
Nope. Not a single offensive snap.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, really, what Wilson didn't get a ton, you know, he made the most of it when he got in, but he didn't get a ton of snaps in this game.
Yeah.
What did you think of no? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say Wilson, like when he came in the game, he was getting carries, right? Because yeah. Josh Jacobs right now is their pass protector type of guy. So
he did well in it too. He had a couple of really nice blitz pickups. What did you think of Evan Williams zero snaps? Because that was one of the ones that surprised me. You weren't surprised by that?
Not really, because like once Bullard became like the full-time safety, and like I know they didn't like announce him full-time safety like second week of the preseason or whatever it was, but once Bullard started getting those snaps, they stopped rotating guys in the slot, right?
True.
So like once the safety rotation kind of stopped, they stopped really considering Bullard as a slot guy, and I think that's how they were going to try to get Evan Williams on the field, was, you know, Bullard playing safety and then drops down to the slot. Williams comes off the bench and ends up playing safety. So until like Keyshawn goes down, or I guess like two or three corners go down and like Keyshawn has to like move out to outside corner or something. I don't really expect that to change. I know they're like, you know, we might have some packages and stuff. They don't really play like this style of defense doesn't really play dime.
No, not
so like maybe Evan Williams will come into the game on some like end of half type of situations or stuff like that. But outside of like those like weird, you know, not even 2 minute, right? Like
yeah,
you know, playing like deep coverage, that, yeah. Big cushions, all that stuff. I would assume that it would have to take an injury to get him on the field, which I mean, that's fine. He's a rookie. He's no one. The bar should not be set at fourth round rookie has to play in week one. Did you see the Atlanta Falcons draft class today?
No, I did not.
All right, I'm gonna pull it up.
While you're looking that up, the one, so I kind of had a feel, and that's why I asked Matt about it a couple weeks ago, that Jordan Morgan was going to rotate at right guard. I kind of had a feel that Adrian Cooper would have 10 to 12 plays that he would get in and start getting his feet wet a little bit. I was not surprised at all. And I thought it was a possibility that maybe Carrington Valentine would get a handful of snaps here or there just to, again, get him some playing time. I just thought Evan was going to be the same, where maybe it wasn't going to be like anything specific, but I thought maybe they would just give Javon maybe 10 snaps off just to give Evan some playing time to get his feet wet and just to make it so that Javon didn't have maybe as much on his plate in week one as a rookie. So that's the only thing that surprised me. I thought they would rotate him in maybe a little bit to get his feet wet. But again, I understand what you're saying at the same time.
But Bullard and McKinney are playing well, like especially in a close game. Yeah,
I'm not mad at it. Just maybe more surprised at it.
Like if they would have been up two scores, I wonder if they would have rotated him in a little bit just to, you know, kind of get his beak wet and stuff. But I mean, in a tight game like that, the two safeties are good too. I don't know if
you want to beak wet.
Yeah,
it's yours. All Oregon Ducks, just everything is is beak duck to you.
We got puddles right here. Atlanta Falcons draft class, 8th overall pick Michael Penix, zero snaps. 35th overall pick Rook Ororo, zero snaps.
He got none. Wow,
zero.
That's crazy.
Might have been inactive for the game.
Wow.
Yes, Braylon Trice is on injured reserve. He was their third round pick. Brandon Dorlus, shout out Ducks since we're on the topic.
Yep.
109th pick, zero snaps. JD Bertrand played special teams, and their 3 6-round picks, Jake McClellan, Casey Washington, and Zion Logue, I think is how you say his name, did also not play. So they drafted, so none of their top first four round picks got a single snap in the game. They drafted 8 players. One of them got looks in week one. Mind you, this is a team that drafted a backup quarterback in the first round because they thought they were so close to being a contender that they could exhaust a pick like that in the fourth year of Terry Fontenot's regime there. And they lost at home to Justin Fields as an injury replacement while Steelers fans took over their stadium. What a horrendous start to the year.
Big time.
Horrendous.
That was the most classic Pittsburgh Steelers win too. Just no touchdowns. Like they just find ways to win games. TJ Watt was phenomenal again, and you kick a bunch of field goals and you come away with a win. It was just the most Steelers thing. We were talking a little bit offline, but Kirk with the Achilles just does not look mobile at all. He just did not look good. That's not going to be a great situation. That's going to be one of those off seasons. There's a lot of very interesting quarterback decisions. The Deshaun Watson trade as of late, the Bryce Young trade for the Panthers, and now this Kirk Cousins and Penix situation. Now, maybe Penix goes on and just has an unbelievable career and it saves something. But outside of that, I think you could be looking at 3 of these franchises just having monumental failures at QB. And again, Penix is a long way away from judging, but just
Daniel Jones got paid too. Like that's another one where it's like
Daniel Jones, you said?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Where it's like Daniel Jones just got contract. Paid. That's going to hurt.
Yeah.
That's going to hurt, man. Like,
I was thinking about this too. These are just the fun conversations we think of when we talk to each other. The Panthers trade with the Bears is going to go down as, in all likelihood, one of the greatest heists and just of all time from a Bears standpoint. And what the Panthers gave up is going to be one of the worst trades of all time. And it is possible that the Bears also lost that trade because they just didn't sit and take CJ Stroud. Because what would you rather have? I'm still very high on Caleb. Like I think he'll end up being fine. Obviously week one was very difficult for him. He didn't look great in week one. And if he goes on to have the career we even think he can remotely have, this will end up as a huge win for Chicago. But like, I don't know, like there's still a world in which maybe you just sit and take CJ Stroud and that ends up being the better decision.
Yeah. I mean, it's early. It's super early.
Oh yeah. Big time.
The damn Bears, man. It broke my heart.
Drafted a hell of a punter.
Oh my God, dude. I thought they were going to lose that game for sure.
They should have. Did you hear the Titans coach say that if they punted on first down every time in the second half, they would have won the game?
The coach said that? With Callahan?
Yeah, I think so. Let me pull it up because I even talked to a friend about it too, and he thought it was a fake quote at first.
I was like, you get by Ballsack Sports or something? Like,
you know, maybe. Maybe I had, and maybe I'm going to have to edit this whole thing out. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, now I can't find it anywhere. Of course. All right. Well, I'm looking that up. Well, I can see if I can find this.
It was Callahan.
It was Callahan.
Almost as if we punted it on first and 10 every time we would have won the game. Yeah. What the heck?
Yeah.
Callahan.
Yes, not holding back. And
just killing your quarterback already.
Other than the fact that one of the touchdowns was a blocked punt, which did not help things either. I he's probably right that the Bears team couldn't get anything going offensively. And that Will Levis play was just, I mean, talk about a QB who had a clean pocket, ran into pressure on the left side of his line, and then just vomited up a ball right to, was it Jalen Johnson who scored it? I can't remember. But
it was the kid from Miami,
Tyreek Stevenson.
Yeah, it was Stevenson.
Yeah, yeah. Couldn't remember who it was, but yeah, that was just it. And quite of course, like
that,
one of
that
the
draft players, class hurt them getting them him and Jervon Dexter. I was like, I like both of those guys.
That's yeah, nice. their secondary is going to be fun for a while with Gordon and Stevenson and Jalen Johnson and Brisker. I'm not a big Byard guy, but other than that, those young guys that they're going to be together probably for a while. All right, Packers win against the Colts this week. If what? Other than like turnovers and random stuff like that.
Run the ball, run the piss out of the football, man.
Do you think they should have ran more against Philly? Cause
we couldn't block.
Yeah. Fair enough. They still averaged what, like six per carry or something like that?
They did. Yeah, I guess I should say they couldn't block in the first half, really.
Yeah.
Outside of the Emmanuel Wilson carries in the first half. Like, yeah, I mean, they ran as much as they could. It's not like they weren't running the ball.
Yeah, no, they were successful. That's what's so frustrating is like everything was there. The offense looked like a Packers offense. They had great plays schemed up. The red zone was wonky. They did not call great plays in the red zone nor execute in the red zone. But other than that, I felt very confident about what Matt LaFleur put together in a game plan standpoint against Philly.
Yeah, for sure. And he'll have something this week. I mean, again, I expect quarterback run game to be a pretty – and by that, I mean, they're not going to run like – quarterback power or anything like that. Like they're not going to do the Josh Allen stuff, right? They're going to do,
I would assume not.
They're going to do more of the Lamar Jackson option stuff. So we'll have to see what they end up cooking up, but they did some interesting stuff schematically in this game. And you know, they seem prepared outside of the offensive line for week one. So
yeah, I thought they were very prepared and just the execution was very poor. So it's like, all right, where do you fall on like the head coach on that game of like it, everything was like kind of the way that it was supposed to be. You got the looks that you wanted, you had the right play calls on, and then, but your team couldn't execute to like save their lives on offense, defense, anything. It's like, yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those days and you chalk it up to young team, international, first week of the season. And then you hope they can correct it enough in these weeks without Jordan so that they're not trying to swim too much upstream. And try to, you know, get their way into the playoffs. I just have a feeling like this is going to be very similar to the last 2 years where it's going to come down to those last, maybe like last week of the season where they need a win. Yeah. And it's either they lose in one of those last games, like they did against Detroit 2 years ago and they don't get in, or they win in the final couple weeks and they get in like they did last year. Just feels like we're going to probably trend in that very similar direction again at the end of this year.
Yeah. It feels like expectations have kind of changed, right? Coming into the year, it was now, like, yeah. It was like, prove that you're a contender.
Yep.
Right. And now it's like, you know, with so much unexpected right now, right? Or uncertain, yeah. Not unexpected. Like, it's just like, punch a ticket into the dance.
Anyway, right? Possibly.
Like, get in as a seventh seed if you can. Like, that, I think Packers fans would take that at this point.
I was looking to it like some of these teams who had awful performances week one, and the Packers don't have any of them on the schedule. There's no Panthers on the schedule. There's no Giants on the schedule, right? I think like, yeah, just they don't have some of those gimmies on the schedule, unfortunately. They'll have some easier games, but of course, like some of the ones that you would look at, like Colts, Titans, I don't know what to make of the Vikings now, but like some of those that you would look at, of course, now you might be without Jordan for those games. So I don't know. It's gonna be gonna be an interesting season.
Sam Darnold.
Yeah,
QB1 in the NFC North. A lot of people are having this conversation. I don't know how serious.
The rebirth of that draft. Somebody should sign Josh Rosen because Baker's tearing it up. Sam Darnold had a heck of a first
week. Did you see the caller in Cleveland radio?
No.
Someone called in, and it was the first call of the day, apparently. And he just dropped. He said two numbers, and it was Deshaun Watson's passer rating and Baker Mayfield's passer rating. And the Cleveland radio host went ballistic. Like, I can't undo the trade. We're not doing this at 9 o'clock in the morning. We're not doing it. We're not doing this all day. Not the first call. Like,
yeah.
The Browns fans, I was looking at it and I was trying to figure out who's freaking out the most about their season. I think Browns fans are up there. Jaguars fans, after blowing that lead to Miami, are up there just because they don't want it. They don't want to have to keep hearing the like Tua's better than Trevor Lawrence stuff. Those two teams are playing against each other next week. Whichever team loses that game, their fan base is going ballistic.
Wait,
they're
who's playing? Who, Jacksonville
and Jaguars? Jaguars and Browns. Yeah.
Jacksonville's going to win that game. Cleveland's, yeah, they're in a rough spot.
Their tackles were so bad. Have you used the NFL Pro stuff?
I'll say yes, but I have another version of it. But yeah, I'll say yes.
I went on there and was just like messing around with the stats to see like what they have. The Cowboys had 25 pressures against the Browns.
DeJuan Jones is not a great matchup for is a good matchup for Dallas. Like DeJuan Jones actually played well last year, but Lawrence and Parsons, that's not a good matchup for DeJuan at all.
No, they're just going to run around him.
Yeah. Yep.
All that big for nothing.
Yeah.
All that big for nothing.
Yeah, if DeJuan gets you in a, you know, cage fight, you know, you're going to feel pretty good about it if you're in space. Yeah,
he's a bear.
He's a fun. I think he'll be fine. I think he'll bounce back. And again, where you're not going against Lawrence and Parsons, it's going to make your life easier. But yeah, that's a tough week one for him. And then, of course, That what was Wills and Conklin still out in that game? And who, I don't even know who's at left tackle for him.
It was, oh, I'll look it up right now. It was some random person because I knew day one, like off the bat. It was James Hudson.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Journeyman tackle. Yeah. Not so, who you want at left tackle going against Micah Parsons and Lawrence either. So, yeah, that was definitely my confidence pick of the week that I did not get anywhere near close. I went with Cleveland for the upset. Just Dallas had a weird offseason, and Cleveland's defense is a pain to usually play against. And I'm like, yeah, maybe, just maybe. And it wasn't Cleveland or favored in that one, or at least it was close.
Yeah. They were favored by like two or something. I didn't know that until after the game. I was like, why didn't anyone alert me?
Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely one of my bigger mistakes of the week, that in Cincinnati, which I think probably everyone got wrong.
Yeah, that was a weird game too.
Well, who'd you rather, last thing, then we'll get out of here. Who'd you rather be a fan of right now, the Panthers or the Browns?
The Panthers are not committed to their quarterback.
Yeah.
The Browns still have to pay Deshaun.
A couple more years and a lot of money. They just restructured again. Those poor souls. What are you doing?
Like, Carolina could just move on from Bryce Young next year.
Yeah, that's
well true. Within the realm of possibility at this point. So
you're going to have the number one pick. Mark it down right now. I think it's set in stone. Panthers are going to have the number one pick in Green Bay. First overall pick. Yeah. And it's not like the Saints were expecting to be this powerhouse team, like, and the Saints just went in there and cruise control. And
I don't even think like the week one reaction where everyone jumps on someone and they're like, they're a contender now. I don't think anyone's doing that with the Saints. They're just like, the Panthers suck.
Like, and now they lose Derek Brown to the year. Like, the one thing that they might have going for them is like, they're done. It's just, it's already so far over. It's crazy. I honestly think, and I know this is like crazy overreaction week one BS talk, but like, I think there's a chance that they could go defeated on the air and not pick up a win. I think it's that bad.
They look horrendous.
Yeah. That was honestly like one of the worst. Like, I watched some of that 0-17 or 0-16 at the time Lions team. Like, this was in that realm. I think this was worse than even some of the games that year. Like, yeah, I think they're going to be very, 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 very bad.
Even some of the guys like Ike Ekwonu, who's played well in the past, looked really bad yesterday. So like,
Peterson's still the coach, right?
Peterson.
Doug Peterson. Who's the coach in Carolina right now?
It's Canales.
That's right. You
know, former OC of the Bucks.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking
we might have gotten him that job. The Packers might have gotten him that job because he did so well carving up Barry's defense specifically. So,
yeah. Oy vey. Good luck, Carolina Panthers fans and Cleveland Browns fans. Jacksonville will be fine. That's where Doug Peterson is, right? I don't know why I juxtaposed the two. All right. Anywho, we'll end on me getting something wrong. Justice, where can we follow all of your amazing work?
AcmePackingCompany.com. You can find me on Twitter at JUMOSQ. We got a bunch of stuff up on the site already. I'm weaponizing the NFL Pro right now and just able to get so many clips of stuff. I tweeted out the video and then I linked it into the article of like, I try to find all the times players slipped on the surface down there in Brazil. So if you guys want to get that, honestly, blow that thing up. Not for me, because the NFL hates it. Like, the NFL should regulate the surfaces. This is ridiculous. This is nuts. You can make sure the field works for guys who are 200 plus pounds.
It feels like this is crazy in the year 2024 that like basic stuff of like, there should be a good field. Like that we have to like, yeah, that's a good idea. Or it's just like the NFL's like, nah, we're good with the way that it's working right now. It's absolutely absurd. It just affects the product on the field, which of course they're going to still make trillions of dollars on it and whatever, but it's just a crappy situation.
Yeah. Blow it up. Cause Goodell said that they want to play 8 games internationally next year. They got that passed and they want to do even more. And it's like, I don't know, man. Like, I understand soccer is the world's game and that's where all these stadiums are built and stuff, but like, if you're going to play international games, you got to make sure the field is going to be able to support your players or these dudes are going to fall on their faces. I didn't even realize the kicker for the Eagles like fell on his ass after a kick attempt.
I didn't realize that either.
I watched on the All-22, he just lands flat on his ass. And I was like, What are we doing here, dude? It's like banana peels everywhere. Mario Kart.
It really was. It was crazy. I did not see that coming at all. And that definitely affected just the enjoyment of the game and the outcome of the game. Maybe not outcome. Both teams had to go with it, but very, very frustrating. All right, go follow him at JUMOSQ. And of course, at acmepackingcompany.com. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. And you can follow the podcast at Packaday Podcast. That's going to do it for Justice and I today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.